So we saw Captain America: Civil War.
We're doing this at the beginning of the show?
I think.
We should. It's probably going to be referenced a lot throughout.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, good point.
Don't think the movie will be referenced.
No, probably not.
Just your incompetence.
The title of the episode.
In 3D.
That's right. All right, so, why don't we tell people what happened?
All right. So, well, let's go. In the last year, we've seen three movies. We saw Ultron, we saw Star Wars, and we saw, we all tried to see Star Wars. And then we saw.
We all saw it.
We all saw it, right.
And then we saw Captain America: Civil War. Three movies. Each time, a different member of the Dome Patrol podcast.com bought the tickets for the rest of the group. Now, Ultron, I bought the tickets. Did y'all all get in?
Yeah.
Yeah, we saw it together.
Did you have to wear any kind of accessories to watch the movie?
Nope.
Nope.
Do you prefer 3D or regular?
Oh, regular.
Right. It is kind of known. We kind of know that, right?
Yeah, 100% regular. Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, we never buy 3D tickets.
All right. So then, Jason, you bought the ticket for Star Wars.
I did. I bought the max of 10.
You bought the ticket for Star Wars, and what
I
happened?
I did. Well, there was a miscommunication somewhere.
You bought 10 tickets and invited 11 people.
I didn't invite 11 people. Renee's brother had it. It was some kind of confusion somewhere.
Right. And I didn't get in. So, Jason, you want to say what happened when we went to the movie Saturday night to see Captain America: Civil War that we were all
excited? So Damon figures, all right, well, we need to get there super early. So we leave Shimmy Shack at 6.
No. We left Shimmy Shack about 6:15.
Okay, 6:15, whatever. So we get to the theater. You know, our tickets are already purchased. I didn't even look at it. Jeff hands them out. So we walk in, get in line, get our snacks or whatever, and we go to the theater. And, well, first of all, it's on one of the side theaters down the hallway. And I'm like, okay, a little interesting. But I guess I figured, all right, well, it's playing in a ton of theaters. They got to stick them wherever they can. Okay, it's understandable.
Right. That's my thought also.
So we get there and they're still cleaning. So I'm like, okay, that's fine. They're still cleaning. We'll wait. But nobody else was waiting there. So we was like, okay, there's the bench right across the entrance. We'll sit on the bench and just wait. So we sit down and then I look over and I see the receptacle to dump your 3D glasses when the movie is over. So I'm like, huh.
Why would there be a receptacle right there?
Exactly. So I'm like, okay. So then I look up outside the door. You had the little, you know, electronic screen, and it says Captain America: Civil War 3D. Now it said 3:30, so it still had the earlier movie. So right. Then I'm thinking, okay, well maybe.
But Jeff didn't buy 3D.
Well, that's what he said. He said he swore to God that he didn't buy it. So I'm thinking, well maybe the 3:30 showing was 3D, and the 7 o'clock would go back to regular. I mean, they could probably switch it over like that. So I'm like, okay. So, and Jeff's like, I did not buy 3D. I did not buy 3D. So I pull out the ticket, and we all kind of pull out our tickets, look at it, and sure enough, it says, Captain America: Civil War in 3D.
I mean, what is the. Is it that hard to buy a movie ticket?
I really wanted to see it in 3D, and so I tricked you all into doing it.
No, you didn't. You're an incompetent like your buddy.
Hey. I bought the max of 10 tickets, and I thought we had it figured
out.
But
you invited 11 people.
I didn't invite 11 people.
I mean, I know math isn't your strong suit, but I mean, you know.
All I'm saying is when I went to go to buy the tickets.
And reading isn't your strong suit.
No, reading is definitely not his strong suit.
On the website.
Apparently, he works all day at home online, and he can't figure out the AMC Theater's website.
That's a testament to how poorly designed their website is. It's cluttered with too much
it's
noise,
not,
too
it's
many
not,
distractions,
it's not.
Too much bullshit on it, and you can't even tell whether or not you're buying a ticket for a 3D, an IMAX. There's too many options.
No, you could definitely tell.
How about just don't offer the movie in 3D? Stop making movies in 3D.
Well, that's
it's
a Hollywood.
Clear that
nobody wants them. We were in the theater with
you did.
Other people.
Right. Right.
No, I was tricked into buying him.
Okay.
That's well, how it's know, done.
Tricked. I mean, you did say something there. The biggest movie of the weekend, you know, every other one was sold out or was packed, and the 3D one had literally, I mean, that wasn't even 10% full, was it?
No, I mean, we could have sat, and we had the best seats in the house, but we literally could have sat anywhere.
Right. So, anyway, next movie is my movie.
Okay.
I'll buy the tickets for whatever we're going to see next. I don't know what comes out. And we'll see if, you know.
I'll leave it up to you.
As is tradition.
If anybody screws up. Okay. So, we're going to start the show and we'll do our Captain America Civil War review at the end of the show. But now you know what happened. What's up, Houdat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the music.
Wait, did you try to do your intro in 3D?
What's up, Houdat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and my drunk scale rating is a 0 tonight, although I had a number all weekend, and apparently when I was buying the tickets.
So. Yeah, I think your number was 3D.
you can do the audio in 3D. He's done that before. Where he puts him in one ear, then us in the other ear.
Oh, yeah.
And it sounds like 3D.
I would 3D tags?
That would be fun. I might actually do that today. All right, it's been a quiet week for the Saints front, but as you just heard, there's a bit more going on in the world of entertainment. So we do have a few Saints and NFL things to cover, but then for those of you who look forward to a spoiler-filled review of Captain America Civil War, as well as this week's episode of Game of Thrones, you're in for a treat for this entertainment 3D episode of the Dome Patrol podcast.com. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your 3D earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I am going to go with a 1. Played softball tonight, so I had a couple beers when the game was over. Got home, ate dinner, and poured a drink now. So I'll stick in a 1.
All right, Damon, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I have 0 drinks.
All right. And let it be known that Damon... Did you have a number for the movie? I mean, you drank a rum and coke before, didn't you?
No. No. Your
number wasn't 3D?
Yeah, my number was 3.
Yeah, all right. Well, this weekend we did do a little bit of tailgating for the movie, and we had a couple of crawfish boils, and I got to meet Doug, who has been on the show once. Doug was hell-bent on getting me a number and making me sleep through Civil War. Little did he know. Could have done it behind those glasses. No one.
Yeah, right. Well, that's another thing we didn't talk about. Thank God I just didn't think of anything and wasn't... Like, let's say I was actually wearing my glasses and not my contacts. Like, that would have been something if I'd have gone to the theater just in my glasses thinking we're going to see the movie in 2D, and then, oh no, I have to put these glasses over my other glasses. That actually probably would have been more funny, just because I guarantee you, like, somebody would have had to take a picture of it. We'd have to put it on the website.
Oh, that's true. All right, let's get into headlines.
Hello, I'm Kent Brockman, and this is Eye on Springfield.
Not much, as we said in the intro, the only thing I think that's worth...
Well, there was kind of a big thing
up
that happened.
Saints signed 4 contracts, or 4-year contracts.
That's not the biggest thing that happened, but go ahead.
Rookies, Sheldon Rankins, Michael Thomas, and Daniel Lasco.
Did you just say 4 or 3? They only signed 3.
4-year contracts.
Oh, okay, well, yeah.
3 4-year contracts.
Okay. Which Rankins being a first rounder, he'll have an option, you know, the Saints will have an option to pick up his 5th year like they did with Vaccaro this year. Mm-hmm. So, not too surprising. I mean, with the new slotted system, there's no holdouts anymore.
Get it done.
So
yeah, that really does make it so much nicer. You know, years past, especially with the Saints, I mean, I think up until they changed, you know, the rules, just about every first rounder missed a day or two in training camp. Nobody missed any significant time.
No, not with the Saints. But just think, especially a sport like football, where it's so important to get in as early as possible, get into the playbook, do all that. You remember when Jamarcus Russell took him forever to do his deal? Like, he missed like a week of actual training camp.
Right.
Holding out. And how that work out for him?
Well, I don't care. He could have been there a week early, and that wouldn't have helped him any.
But still, you know, like, I got held out for $30-something million, and he...
Well, because he knew this was going to be his only contract. He better get all... And in hindsight, more power to him. But one of the things that, I wonder how it affects the guys, kind of what you're talking about, is the college programs that are on a quarter schedule, those guys miss mini camp.
Which that actually that happened to Andres Pete last year.
Right, and it's going to happen to I'm pretty sure Ohio State's on the quarter system.
Mm.
And so, you know, it's going to happen to two of our guys this year. I don't understand. I don't understand the rule. Do you understand the rule? I mean, I know what the rule is.
It's just they still they have to
Finish school.
They have to stay and finish school and it interferes.
But no, but they don't even have to finish school. They could drop out right now.
Well, they could, but so I guess if these dudes want to just say fuck it, I'll go back to school later, which is what I'm sure a lot of guys do.
Right, and I don't know if our two Ohio State guys were juniors or seniors. I don't know that.
Who didn't we have one guy who kind of took his classes? He came and still was able to take classes online or something. I mean, finish his class online.
But no, it's an NFL rule. If your school is on the quarter system, you cannot participate.
Oh.
Okay.
Which and definitely makes no fucking sense.
I'm sure it's is a nod to the colleges for some reason. You know, I don't know why.
Education's more important.
Maybe to improve their to make sure their graduation rate is
Yeah. I guess. I don't know. Silly rule. Two of our rookies are going to be a little behind once camp starts, you know. But I don't like it.
No.
Nothing I can do about it.
Not a fan.
Okay, so then we got Terron Armstead's deal.
That's the real big news.
Is that the big one you were waiting for?
Well, that's the big one.
All right.
Should have been the lead story, but that's okay. Whatever.
I've got three stories.
Yeah, sure you do.
All right, what is it? $65 million.
It's all, he's now his average. He's like money. He's one of the top highest paid tackles, which is deserved. I mean, he was still great last year, and he played injured.
Yeah, great. So
how about his story? Huh?
But I like the fact that they got out in front of it and got the deal done sooner rather than waiting. And if he hit the open market, or they had to franchise him,
right next year.
You know, like he would have made more.
Right, because he was under contract this year already. Let's point that out. And you're right. Now that you say it, it's one of the few guys that I can remember Loomis doing that with. You know,
Junior Gallette was one. Well, that backfired.
Yeah, that backfired. But you know, Breeze, we let him get.
Breeze, Graham, we waited to
Graham,
the last.
Right, yeah, a lot of people. So yeah, I do applaud Mickey Loomis for doing this. I like it. Like knowing Armstead's going to be on the team for the next 5 years.
He's probably the second best player on the team.
I mean, it's so hard with.
Right. I mean, that's obviously Drew's number one, but.
Right. It's so hard.
But he's a rock, and it is a lot of money, but the good news is he's only 24, 25. So right. you're paying him for his prime.
Exactly. And that's.
So that's the key. You know, he should definitely earn this deal, and as the cap continues to go up year after year, I'm sure in 2 years Mickey, to kick the can down the road, will restructure him and shift stuff around. But
let's hope not. But
that's what he does.
But yeah, it's definitely a big signing. Offensive line last year, we talked about it throughout the last season and this offseason, was not pretty, but he was definitely one of, you know, the highlight of a very low performing
of a Midland
position. So that's good. You know, protect Breeze, and I'm getting excited, man. I'm getting excited for the season. Let's start.
Yeah, I mean, just think when, you know, you got rookie minicamp this week, so like it's going to start slowly tricking it in. You get players are good. Not that, I mean, do they get to have any organized practices, or is it just like workouts?
Oh, God, I don't know. It might be shells. You know, they might do some installation.
Kind of like walkthroughs?
Yeah.
But not like actual.
No, no hitting. No hitting.
Well, there was definitely no hitting, but like, could they go out there, run routes, toss stuff around? Like,
sure, right.
I mean, technically, Breeze is under contract. I would imagine he'll be in.
But isn't it for, I thought this was for rookies only,
But like, if you have rookies on offense, if you need your quarterback, Breeze couldn't go throw to him?
Yeah, perhaps. I don't know. I mean, we'll pay more attention
when it actually happens.
Right, this week and see what they're doing. But
yeah.
It's a getting to know you here, the NFL. This is what we expect.
Give you a little bit of a how's your father.
Right. You know, okay, so, you know, everybody kissed your ass at the draft and you were so wonderful. Now you're fucking rookies. You suck. You don't know shit. You're the dumbest person in the room.
I am Gunnery Sergeant Hartman, your senior drill instructor. From now on, you will speak only when spoken to. And the first and last words out of your filthy sewers will be, sir. Do you maggots understand that?
Sir, yes, sir.
Bullshit, I can't hear you. Sound off like you got a pair.
Sir, yes, sir.
If you ladies leave my island, if you survive recruit training, you will be a weapon. You will be a minister of death praying for war. But until that day, you are pukes. You are the lowest form of life on earth. You are not even human fucking beings. You are nothing but unorganized, grabastic pieces of amphibian shit. Because I am hard, you will not like me. But the more you hate me, the more you will learn. I am hard, but I am fair. Here you are all equally worthless. And my orders are to weed out all non-hackers who do not pack the gear to serve in my beloved Corps. Do you maggots understand that?
Sir, yes, sir.
Bullshit, I can't hear you.
Sir, yes, sir.
That's exciting, though. I remember, with Marcus Colston, if you remember, during rookie minicamp and minicamps, they said he was, they thought he wasn't even going to, definitely wasn't going to make the team.
Then he was completely out of shape.
Right. Then he came in to training camp, and we had 10 glorious years with him. So
yeah, I mean, we see what happened. It's crazy.
So I guess I'm saying, just don't take too much, don't take too much what you hear this week. It's still early.
Right. I mean, you really can't start to get any real judgment until actual training camp.
Right, until actual training camp. Because the way I believe it's done is all these mini camps is a lot of installation. A lot of installation of plays in the playbook. And they want once the time, the coaches ideally would want once the time training camp starts, you be in good health and you just
You go
really start it right the installation so
but I guess technically it's the official kind of start of the season, although I mean it's going to take we still got 4 months until the season starts.
Right,
we're going to get really excited when somebody catches a ball.
That's why, right. try to temper.
Right, Jeff is going to go out and buy a jersey for someone who won't be on the team in August.
We'll slap somebody with a belt.
He already has slapped someone with a belt, whoever it is.
Okay.
All right, so the other piece of headlines is the Kentucky Derby was this weekend, and then Saints owner Tom Benson had not one but two horses in the race. Mo Tom and Tom Reddy. And where did they end up finishing? Did we ever pay attention long enough for that?
Nope. Thank you.
I mean, one of them was in the top five for a while, and I think it was his lower rated horse. Or the horse
I'm running. I think Motom was the higher rated one.
So I think it was the other one, but it seemed like he might have finished around, I don't know, 6 or 7.
All right.
It's fucking horses. It was amazing to me the coverage that this thing got this week.
Well brother, that's every year. I mean, it's a big.
But no, but well, locally.
Now, well, because Tom Benson had two horses in the ring.
I know, but they really, it seemed like
and it's their rookie year. This is from their. That's what's unprecedented about it.
They just went completely, I don't know, I thought they went completely overboard.
And Sean Payton got to announce, what did he do? He got to...
Yes, he got to say, riders up.
Oh.
It's like...
Riders do your job.
It's like, gentlemen, start your engine,
City Global, Commonwealth of Kentucky. Sports racing fans from around the world, we've waited for this moment. Riders up.
It's a nice ceremonial thing they do at these.
Yeah, he was there in a seersucker suit and his bow tie, looking sharp.
Yeah, well, I mean, he was, obviously he was there with the owner, which shows a good relationship, which makes me feel good. We don't have some of these, like in Indianapolis, where the owner and the coach hate one another.
Well, I don't guess Alvin Gentry was up there with him.
No.
Why not? He's a coach too. As far as I know, I don't know. There's been no word out of Pelicans camp the last 3 or 4 weeks.
Well, I mean, if you want to save that. But, yeah, I mean, that I was really hoping they'd get rid of him.
We can
talk about it.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Pass the ball, final casting call. First of all, verbal basketball. Off the glass, smash your jaw. Too fast for y'all. You might take a nasty fall trying to stick with the prehistoric passing.
It's the offseason. I don't know. I mean, come on. We had all heard, you know, and read during the offseason about Van Gundy.
Yeah, but that's not. He's going to want too much control, and I think he would.
Right.
Well, but what I think would like he would have to. I don't think he'd come in and work under Mickey.
I don't think Mickey does anything, but
I don't. Well,
I don't think Mickey's doing basketball.
I think Mickey's going to make the final decision on Demps. We don't even know. I mean, Demps is under contract, but they haven't said is he technically he's still the GM. They could fire him next week.
I mean, I think how I believe it works is. Loomis would make a recommendation. Yeah, firing someone that high up, I do not believe Mickey has that kind of power. And no one does in any of these leagues, you know, in any of these teams, you know. I mean, that's the owner's money. If now, I'm sure a lot of owners, 90% of them go, you know, whatever the GM recommends. But at the end of the day, that's a Tom Benson decision if Mickey recommends it. And if Mickey's not recommending it, you know,
it's weird. Just it seems like the past few weeks. I mean, Dell's in limbo. I mean, he's still going on as if he's still going to be the GM, and he's under contract. So it's weird. It's like people expect them to make an announcement saying he's staying, but technically he's under contract. So it's not like they would
have to make an announcement.
It is a weird situation, and all the fucking Pels bloggers are getting on my nerves. They just keep pointing out, oh, we're just languishing and letting like Loomis doesn't even care about the Pels now, which they really don't, and I do kind of agree with them, but man, they just keep hitting on it and hitting on it and hitting on it. I'm like, stop being so fucking aggravating. Just we get it, you know, it's not a good situation right now, but just until something happens, just I mean, what are you gonna do?
You're right. I mean, I guess I
do kind of wish he'd come out and say one way or another if he's definitely staying, because there seems to be some confusion about whether he's going to be fired or not. And
maybe I'm putting football ethics, you know, or how football works on basketball. You know, football, yeah, all this stuff is known within 7 days, you know, once the season's over.
Well,
once
normally in basketball it's like that, but we really haven't said shit.
Then that would tell me that we're
just standing
put. Yeah, that's what it took. That's what I assumed.
I mean, that's what I assume, but it's weird. Like people expect them to say something and they haven't. It's a really weird situation. Very weird. What's going on?
Having Loomis watch over the Pelicans. It's a weird situation.
When it happened, I didn't like it. Like he's got enough on his plate to run an NFL team.
Right. I don't like
me.
No sir.
No sir. I do not like it.
Right. You know, and again, I'd like to really know how much of his day is taken up by the Pelicans.
Right. Like how
is
really
it 5 minutes?
Just see. Right. Because I mean, it's assumed like, you know, Dell's the GM, but Dell reports to Mickey, so Mickey's got some control, but we don't really know exactly what the situation is.
It's weird. I like a Van Gundy hire. I know he wants control and
I would give it to him.
Yeah, give it to him. Perfect. Mickey, all right, look, you still answer to Mickey. If you want to go spend,
here's the thing. I wouldn't even go through Mickey. You would have to go. Like I would go. The GM should go to the owner. There shouldn't be an intermediate.
Mr. Benson doesn't want to deal with that shit at this age.
Oh, he's the owner. You know what? He has to. He needs to. It's his team. He needs to do that.
I'm 89 years old, and I'm worth, you know, just south of $2 billion. You know what? Mickey Loomis, I trust, and he's the owner. You know, you go through him. And
it's a weird situation that isn't anywhere else in the league that this isn't the case.
No, well, there's nowhere else in the world that a basketball team and a football team share a campus either. You know, look, let Van Gundy be the GM. He can run everything, and you can do just about whatever you want. But there's some – look, when it's not your team, you have to answer to somebody. You know, you have to get the okay from somebody to let, right? Bill Parcells was the GM president and everything. But he couldn't have gotten rid of some. I mean, at the end of the day, you have to run it by the owner, you know, or the owner's representative.
Yeah, really? What about your model franchise? You think Belichick has to run everything by Kraft?
He doesn't run. He doesn't run everything.
Bill, you do what you got
to
do.
No, I think he does have to run it all by Kraft. I just think maybe Kraft says 99% of the time, like, yeah, do what you need to do.
Yeah.
Because he trusts him. But he has to run it by him.
Yes, yes.
You're not
going to
make decisions like that for, right, the guy owns the team. It's his team. Now, he depends on how they set up the relationship. Now, if Tom Benson set up the relationship so that Mickey Loomis is, quote-unquote, where the buck stops because Tom Benson doesn't even know what fucking color the sky is anymore.
Red wine!
Now, see, the court called him competent, and we all... But
The court said he was competent when he made the decision. I don't know if they're calling him competent today. All right, Gail's wiping drool off his freaking face. Right.
He's doing his little lip thing like the old people do. Like, everyone, you could see him when you look at him. Like,
he had the facial tics.
He's got the facial tic of an old person.
You know,
he's 89.
Oh, look, I know, like, look, I know he's old.
He's,
I get it.
89 years old. He is.
Really?
I know. I know. He's very.
But again, trying a little bit to stay on top. Like I said, I don't see how you can't have a Van Gundy and not have it work out. Where again, you answer. You know, you say you call it. You know, you say answer to. Well, you know, you report to Mickey Loomis. Look, and maybe it's not even a goddamn asking permission, but it's let someone know what the fuck you're doing. You know. You're not allowed to go out and spend $20 million a year of my money without telling me.
You got to go through it. I don't know. It's a weird situation, and I wish it was. I mean, even if in actuality it's not that weird. It's like in appearance it looks off, and it's not a good look for the franchise. And I don't know. I don't like it. We look like we're kind of dysfunctional, and I don't like.
Well, the Pelicans are very dysfunctional.
Yeah, I don't like it.
The Pelicans are very dysfunctional.
It's not a good look.
Okay, for a moment, forget about who answered to who, but would you, as far as the Van Gundy, would you like to see the Pelicans go after Van Gundy, perhaps?
If they were going to get rid of Gentry, yes, I'd go for a guy like that, give him...
But I no, but do you want to get... I'm asking you, okay, you're Tom Benson. I'm asking you.
Well, if you want to do it right now.
I'm asking you. What would you do? Do you want to get rid of Gentry, or do you want to go? Or you?
I don't necessarily want to get rid of Gentry, but if we brought in Van Gundy and gave him all the power and control, I think I would probably pull for that instead.
You think that would be a better?
I think it would be a better situation. And a guy like Van Gundy can maybe, you know, it would help you with showing stability and being able to attract free agents.
Right. And Van Gundy does at least have a winning record as a head coach.
He does. He does.
That's nice. Do you think the problem? Would you get rid of Dell Demps?
I kind of think I would. He put together this team, and it wasn't a good fit. The pieces didn't fit. And
exactly. Is Dell Demps building a Dell Demps team, but not giving a shit about the coach?
Well, supposedly Gentry was his coach. He built the team, and he thought Gentry was the coach to get the best out of it, and he made a bad, like, the players clearly didn't fit. Like, when he hired Gentry, there was no reason to pay Oshik the $40 million that he paid him. There was absolutely zero reason to do that, and yet he did it, so I don't understand that.
And that's the main thing.
Where was Dell Demps before this?
San Antonio, which you figure, okay, well, San Antonio knows what the fuck they're doing.
Well, but we didn't get Greg Popovich, you know.
I know.
You know, just like in New England, you know.
You're right.
Those, you know, Scott.
What's the old thing? If you want me to cook a meal, you got to let me shop for the groceries.
Well, I mean, look, nobody's the Spurs, but and look, we got Monty Williams was an assistant with the Spurs when we got him.
Right. The Pelicans are definitely floundering. If Gentry does anything. Me personally, you put Gentry on a short leash.
I mean, I don't think he's necessarily the problem. I think the roster was the problem, and that's on Dell Demps. Like to me, like Dell Demps deserves to be fired more than Alvin Gentry does.
I mean, I'd like to see them both gone. You know, again, Gentry didn't have. I think it was in New Jersey. you know, he didn't have a good record. He had a losing record there.
He was with the Clippers, and he was with Phoenix. He had a couple of decent teams in Phoenix. But look, the Pels set the record for games lost to injury in a season this year. I mean, he didn't have his roster. So it's hard for me to pin everything on him because he lost so many games. Now, you can pin the injuries on whatever you want. We've debated and talked about it, but to me, this is on Demps a hell of a lot more than it's on Gentry.
I mean, okay. I mean, I agree with you there. I'm not, you know.
Was it an uncommon amount of injuries as far as basketball seasons?
Yes. Go? I mean, we set the record. All right. We set the record for most games missed to injury.
So then,
351 games this team missed due to injury.
So is it too soon to say the things you're saying? And you got to give them a year where actually the guys that they hired to play actually play.
Well, I mean, a couple of guys are free agents now.
The best coach in the league couldn't win with the guys they were pulling off the street.
Right.
No. So, that's why I'm, I think Dell is more of a culprit here than Gentry is.
This year.
Right, this year. Look, Dell, Alvin Gentry has 13 years as a head coach. And he has, 12 as a full-time head coach. And he had one winning season in the 12 years.
It was the one year that actually had a decent team built that he could coach.
He was 50. Well, but the exact following year, he had a losing record.
Well, because Steve Nash got hurt. Amari Stoudemire got hurt.
Okay, I mean, well, it's all fucking injuries then. Well, then fuck the coach.
We need better doctors.
No, it's better doctors. That's all we need is better doctors.
We need doctors.
You're right, Jason. We figured it out. We got to get this to the fucking Pelican. Because according to fucking Jason, it's just the doctor. And yes, injury plays a part. No fucking shit. If Drew Brees is hurt, we suck.
But this is an uncommonly...
According to you, it has uncommonly followed him for 12 fucking years. Maybe he's bad luck. You just told me the reason he didn't have back-to-back.
That was one year. If you look at his Clipper stint, the Clippers were a completely dysfunctional franchise.
31-51, 39-43, 1939.
The Clippers were terrible. The Clippers were terrible for two decades. Then he goes to Detroit and he's stuck in a rebuilding.
No, he came to a rebuilding situation. He did Detroit first.
Oh, he did Detroit first. Okay, well then they were rebuilding first. I mean,
Detroit. He was 16-21, 29-21, 28-30.
I'm not saying he's the answer, but he's not the reason we stunk this year. Like, if you want to fire him, I wouldn't be mad. Like I just said, I would take Jeff. If you hire Jeff Van Gundy as GM and coach right now, I'd be fine with it. I'd say let's go.
I don't see anything that would make me think he can turn it around with a good GM. Not that a good GM can't help. Look, I mean,
I think a good GM can help anybody.
You agree with that? A good GM would help any coach, right?
He had a good healthy roster.
A good GM would help any coach, correct?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Right. I mean, so that's a. I mean, no shit.
Well, you both have established that Demps needs to go.
Well, right. I mean, I put more of this on Demps than I do. Yeah. Look, if they want to fire Gentry, fine. I'm not going to be, mad and say we shouldn't have fired him.
And just from reading the internet and reading, it seems that if you want at least what we consider right now, an established head coach with an established good record of winning, they want more control. And
that's what Thibodeau got in Minnesota.
That seems to be the going rate.
It is. Now, here's the thing. With Benson, you're going to have to, pay for Gentry. If you're going to fire him, you got to pay for him. Now, granted, he doesn't have an expensive contract, but you're going to pay for him.
Well,
and then if you're getting Jeff Van Gundy, you're going to have to pay $7 million a year for him. And he's already paying Peyton $9 million.
Right.
So, he's willing to do it, so be it. But is he going to be willing to do something like that?
Well, look, I mean, if I may for a moment go into the mind to try to read the mind of Mr. Benson.
Red wine, ice cream, horses.
He's never been afraid to spend in business, because I believe he thinks, and rightfully so, that you get out of the company what you put into it. You can't be cheap with the product. And he's always spent on his product. be that, you know, a player, the coach, or the whatever. You know, we've never lost a player because we didn't want to pay him.
Bobby Hebert's free agency?
That was Mr. Finks. That was under Jim Finks. And Jim Finks did not want to pay. But yeah, that was a starter free agency. Jim Finks did not like free agency at all. He was 100% against it. And he was going to make a stand. And if you talk to Bobby Hebert, I get that from Bobby Hebert listening to him on the radio. You know, he always said it was never Mr. Benson. It was Mr. Finks. Same reason we lost Morton Anderson. Because Mr. Finks was not going to pay a kicker $1 million a year. You know, that was Finks. But we've never wanted somebody and lost them because of money. I would love to see them do something.
All right, well, we'll see what's going to happen. And for this part, then, we're going to move into the entertainment portion of the show. First, we're going to do... This is your warning now. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
For both Game of Thrones and Civil War, but let's start with Civil War, since we saw that first. And in 3D, in case you haven't heard.
Have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
Yeah, I don't really know what happened. I couldn't concentrate on the fucking film because of the goddamn glasses I had to wear. I don't wear glasses. I've never worn glasses, you know. I have good vision. I'm one of the few people blessed with vision. I can actually see. And when you put something on my face, it obstructs my vision. Nothing enhances it.
Well, I just couldn't see
how
shit in action sequences, because other than what they're focusing on, everything else is blurry.
Right.
Everything else is blurry and a mish, and you just can't make out a lot of stuff. Like, it's very distracting.
You have to focus on the part that they want you to focus on. If you,
but with so much stuff going on, like, well,
I know. Look,
overload.
I'm that's a complaint.
Yeah. It's incredibly distracting to watch something in 3D.
Right, and the incompetence of going to see a 3D movie is just over the top. Yes.
Okay. So do we just not review the movie and wait till we see it in...
Well, I don't know. I can tell you about the soundtrack, because the soundtrack was awesome. The sound in the movie should get an Oscar, in my opinion, because it was just so crisp and...
all right, so...
No,
17-minute fight scene, I think...
It was absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
Ant-Man was...
Pinnacle, and I like that. Obviously, they hid that from the trailers. Like, you didn't know he was going to do his giant man bit,
right?
Which
thought he was going to shrink to micro.
Right, like I didn't know. Like, he said, "Oh, I've done this once, and I might rip myself in half." I'm like, "What the hell is he talking about?"
Never, girl.
And then it happens, and you're like, "Oh." That's a little move in my pants.
And what I love is that he's pretty much stayed the giant for the rest of the fight too. It wasn't just like for one move, you know.
Right, no, they kept him the giant. But look, I'll give you my. I think the best superhero in the whole movie, and how Marvel does it, and Marvel is just, they know how to make a fucking superhero movie. They know how to make a fucking superhero character. These guys, I don't know what they're doing and why they're the only one with the fucking formula. But, you know, 20th Century Fox need to give up the fucking X-Men and let Marvel and Disney have them.
Yeah.
Because even though it's good, the X-Men are good.
Yeah.
They would be fucking what you'd be masturbating
in
the theater if it was Marvel.
Yes.
X-Men would be better than Avengers, probably.
Yes, you know. Because what is it? Because what they did with Spider-Man is, that's my favorite Spider-Man in a movie.
Absolutely incredible, and we only got him for like maybe 15 minutes.
Right. I am jazzed to see a Spider-Man standalone movie, and considering the last two that were put out,
I didn't go see those out of spite.
And the only
I did not see that second.
But the funny thing is, all they did was, he was just a wisecracking. Yeah, he's true to the comic book,
which is what he is in the comic.
Yes, he was what's made him wonder, you know, popular for the last 40 years, yeah. 50 years.
And I think part of that is why Marvel is so good at it, is because the people doing these movies, including Kevin Feige, the leader of Marvel, and even the Russo brothers, the directors of this movie, they read comics as kids.
Yeah, right. Even the cinematography of Spider-Man is very reminiscent of what you would see on the pages of the book. Like,
yep,
the shot is him, you know, squatting up high because he just done something, and he makes the comment from up there. Instead of, again, like if you look at the Spider-Man standalones, that the 200 of them that they did in the last 3 years, it's not that. You know, they're trying to make regular movies, and they totally comic book style.
I mean, he was fucking fantastic.
He salutes Captain America, looking great. He's like, "Hey, Captain America." he was mesmerized by the fact that he was hanging out with all these guys.
Well, right, and even kind of similar, same thing with Ant-Man. He's like, "It's like, oh, I know you. Oh, I know you too."
Yeah,
and then like there was one point in the fight scene, and Captain America like comments or. You know, congratulates Ant-Man on doing something. He's like, thanks, Captain America.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and having Paul Rudd, dude, it's
other right.
And having Paul Rudd, he's a perfect guy. I mean, I loved Ant-Man. I love Spider-Man.
On Hawkeye's Arrow, and Hawkeye says like something like, you know, you're strapped in. He was like, yeah, I am Arrow guy.
Yeah, Arrow guy. Right?
Oh, Arrow guy.
it was just done so.
That's why you're not gonna get shit like that from. You know, Superman or the Batman versus Superman. You know, because DC's trying to go dark.
Well, Zack Snyder's a fucking. They should have never given Zack Snyder the Superman movies. They should have never.
I like 300. I like 300.
Well, 300 was good, but that's not a fucking superhero movie.
Mm.
It's 300. You don't have 50, 60 years of history behind it. You know, you turned Gerard Butler into a star. You know, good for you. It was a good movie. I like 200. 300 too, but
he
300 was 300 was better.
Whatever.
When it was in 3D, 300D.
Maybe I didn't see it 3D, but the other good, cool Spider-Man scene was when he mentioned, you know, when Giant Man was doing his thing and they couldn't stop him, and he's like, "Hey, I saw this in that old movie, Empire Strikes Back." You remember when they did that?
The walking things that like he didn't even
So now I guess it's an interesting thing. Like, so the Star Wars movies exist in the Marvel universe.
Aha.
Well, yeah, we figured.
I mean, not that it really matters. You know, you hear a regular movie, but still,
it's fun. It's funny. So, how'd y'all like the way that they built up the story and showed the contrasting sides as far as Iron Man's point of view, Captain America's point of view? The debate that they had, I mean, I did find myself flipping back and forth.
Well,
you know, that's a good point, Cap. That's a good point, Iron Man. You know,
because you're a flip-flopper.
Yeah, well.
Here's the thing. I mean, to me, it's... I found that they made Captain America just very arrogant. And I guess, really... I loved the first Captain America movie,
First Avenger.
I thought that was great, and then the last one I thought was great. But this whole Bucky thing, I mean, I can understand it, but isn't he going against his own moral fiber? With all right, if Bucky has done these things, then it's not his fault. We're all going to assume, you know, we're all going to
right. He's brainwashed. That's why.
But he still has to be brought to justice. And Captain America isn't fighting for justice because it's his friend. So in that one way, he's saying, I am above the rules, the laws, everything.
And I think he actually...
That's how I felt, and that's why...
Well, wait, but there was a point in the movie when somebody pointed that out to him that says, like, you know, you guys, you cannot act...
Unilaterally.
Right. Like, you're not above us, and... I forget how he reacted, but it was pretty much like he was like saying, "Yes, we are."
Well, he has confidence in himself that he thinks.
But you should trust me.
I'm
above you, and I. It's okay because you should trust me to always make the right decision.
Well, I mean, look, for the most part, he has been right. I mean, he's always been the righteous
like
guy.
Truth, justice.
He's always been the most superheroic. I mean,
Boy Scout, they use to describe Superman,
like,
right?
Heroic in the true sense.
Right.
He has been the most selfless. That's the word I was looking for.
Right. Now look, they did it, and I'm gonna geek out. You know, they did it a little bit differently in the comic books than they did in the movie, because obviously in comic books you have so many
other characters, but it was also
but
masked and unmasked. But that was kind of a thing.
Right. It was a registration act in the comic books. It's not a registration act. It's that they want them to be, answering to somebody.
Why does it sound? Are you walking in a windstorm?
No.
It sounds like it. There's like the wind. It sounds like wind in the background. Are you outside?
No, I'm inside. I'm sitting on my chair.
You have a fan?
You got a fan on your face?
Not on my face. I got a fan on the ceiling.
Wow.
I got two. Is it still on?
There's just like background.
Is it still on?
Not now, no.
But yeah, but in the comics, it was a registration act, which to me is, I can definitely see Captain America's point a lot more there. Where, like you said, mask, unmask, and all this. Some people didn't want to reveal their secret identities for fear that it would, put in danger their families and blah, blah, blah. And look, like you said, comic books, you have so many titles to work through and really develop a story, and you have as long as you want to do it, if you want to make it over a whole year. So the movie has limitations of what it can and can't do. But like I said, I just felt like this made Captain America, to me, well, this is my buddy, and I don't give a fuck what y'all say. We're above the law, and we're going to do it my way, and I don't care what anybody.
He thought he was right, and he hasn't really trusted. He hasn't really trusted the government. With S.H.I.E.L.D. when they had the helicarriers, he's like, I don't trust. Like, this is fear.
As far as he knows, isn't S.H.I.E.L.D. run by Hydra?
Well, S.H.I.E.L.D. doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
MCU.
Right. Well, right.
But I mean, maybe let him to just, like, he doesn't trust the government. Like, the government says they want to regulate it. Well, what makes them think it's gonna work? Like, he has more faith in himself doing it his way than trusting anybody else.
Right. But that's definitely not the mindset of a soldier. In the real world. Right. And that is supposedly what he is, this World War II soldier. And obviously, then in the beginning,
Well, now he's the, right.
Well, he's had to adjust to today. He ain't in the forts no more.
And watch a lot of corruption. That's the other thing, How can he trust these governments when every time they've always been...
Well, they turned S.H.I.E.L.D. against, right. They did an interesting thing there, with S.H.I.E.L.D.
So... Yeah. Now, Iron Man on the other side, he's whoops, let's sign and go.
Well, because he's part of the reason this thing happened. He fucking created Ultron, mm-hmm. which created this. So it's his fault,
right?
Well,
so he definitely feels the guilt. And then when he met with that lady and she was talking about her son, he definitely felt guilty. Like he was part of the reason that this.
Right. I mean, obviously, but he wasn't part of the reason in Avengers 1 and the, Or even, what they had earlier in this film, the trying to get the...
But, on the other side, I'm sorry to cut you off, but, like, all these people that are, like, they're blame, the Avengers come in and save the day and then they disappear. Yeah, they're not a construction crew. They do their job, and whatever destruction's left, and some, guess what? They're job creators. You know how much money, there's all kind of people.
Right. How many jobs created rebuilding Katrina after a flood? What do you think's going to happen with an alien invasion?
Exactly. And you're right. You're so fucking worried about these people. Right. They saved you from an alien invasion and from an AI robot that would have enslaved humanity. I mean, fucking.
It would have destroyed it. The meteor would have. Hit and destroyed the entire world's population.
That's obviously one of the things they have a problem with is obviously, it's the death count, not some, it's that they're doing this fight and they're
a million died, but if they didn't do what they did, then everyone dies.
Right.
Right. But if it was you that lost someone, you would probably feel a little different.
Maybe so. Yeah, you're probably right, I guess.
Yeah,
it's just a weird look. It's a weird situation.
Superheroes
and aliens, I mean.
Right, again, but it's funny, but the main thing is how Marvel does it in a movie.
They had to make it like that.
And you suspend disbelief and you sit there and enjoy this movie,
Oh, loved, absolutely.
They are just able to do it so fucking well.
Right. And you found out how Iron Man lost his parents.
Well, because you knew they died, but you never.
You knew, yeah.
You know, found, so that was a, and I can see why.
I thought that was absolutely critical. That was much better than the Martha moment from Batman versus Superman. Shit.
Anything is better than that.
Right. But, you know, it, because they needed, there needed to be some, like, major reason for the turn, right? For the line drawn in the sand. That's
for finally being like, yo, fuck you. I'm, right. I'm just, I'm mad and I'm going to fight you.
Right. And beautifully done.
Yeah. Yeah, really well executed.
And look, we had all seen that scene in the trailer. We didn't know how we got there. So when Captain America and Iron Man, you know, Iron Man goes to that the water prison to sort of to Siberia to sort of make up with Captain America, you know.
Oh yeah.
And so I, you know, at least I was watching the movie. I said, well, where is our big Cap? You know, we're the big Captain America.
Three of them fighting.
Right,
right,
you know?
right.
And I didn't see it. I didn't see it coming until it was, you know, too late.
No, no.
Then I figured out. Oh, okay. Once they put the video on the screen so they all could watch, I knew what it was. I said, "Oh, that's who killed him." Okay, you know that, or that's who he killed.
Because they did kind of show like the car crash a couple of times early in the movie, but didn't show.
They just showed him driving.
Who the victim was, right. They showed you who the assassin was,
right.
But they didn't show you the victim. And then,
yeah.
Again, it was great. The fight amongst those three was very good. They did it.
Oh, it was
awesome.
Great.
Even with Rhodey getting hurt, that brought some, you know, some feelings to the show right there. And to me,
do you feel like somebody should have died?
Yes. They should have killed Rhodey, yes.
Yeah.
It would have, yes.
Because now, you know, he's got the metal legs. He's going to end up walking again. He may not be War Machine again, but he's, you know.
I don't see why he can't be War Machine. I mean, all that's, you know.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it's just a suit. Yeah, good point.
Right, get the suit. But yeah, if they would have killed him, that would have been.
I thought they should have killed him, too. Yeah. That was because when you thought he was dead, it made that much more impactful. Right. But when you saw him get up, you're like, what?
Right. If they'd have killed him, and they shouldn't have made it, they shouldn't have made it like they did with Vision, you know, accidentally missing and accidentally striking.
Oh, but that's also what Vision said earlier. It's like when you have this, you know, the factions going against each other, it just provides chaos and like the results is just calamity. Like that's what's just gonna happen.
Yeah, but it was an easy way to not, you know, look, they did it because they didn't want to make one side bad, you know, one side make it clear, you know. But with all these the fights going on, it should have been someone else who.
It definitely feels like somebody should have died.
Right. It should have been Winter Soldier. He should have, you know, somehow.
Probably, yeah, probably. Well, he did get his arm blown off earlier in the movie when Bucky was trying to escape, and when like Sharon Carter was there, Tony was there, Black Widow was there, and they were fighting him. And there was a scene where Black Widow hopped on Winter Soldier, and he choked her. He choked Black Widow. He was choking her on the thing, and she said, "At least remember me." So I wonder, because he was, you know, with Germany, you know, Nazi and whatnot. Like, I wonder if at some point in the past they might have known each other. I think that's a little lingering thread that could pop up. I don't know if y'all maybe noticed that, but I kind of noticed, like, she said, "At least remember me," meaning like they might have known, like, because he was brainwashed, so she would, but maybe
maybe they worked a mission together.
Well, I know she mentioned he shot her one time before, remember, in Winter Soldiers. Yeah. He shot her and the bullet went through her, but I wonder if there may be something else.
Oh, see, that's probably what she's right. I think you might be
thinking. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe I'm overthinking it.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. Unless final thoughts on Civil War.
I thought it was great.
Yeah, excellent movie.
I'm definitely going to go see it again.
Yeah, if you're a fan of this, go see it in 2D.
I mean, I definitely want to pick up, you know, when you see it the second time, you're going to pick up more things. I really want to go and try to pick up more things.
We didn't talk about Black Panther at all. Hold on.
No, I mean.
Oh.
Cool.
He was good in the movie too.
He was very good.
They was very good. They did well with him. They make you look forward to a standalone Black Panther
and
movie.
So now Bucky's in cryo freezing in Wakanda. But now you're left with these splitted Avengers factions. You got the one in public with,
and
I guess,
it's gonna take Thanos to bring them back together.
Well, that's, yeah. So you got the other ones in hiding with Wakanda. It makes you wonder, well, maybe Cap or Bucky show up in the Black Panther movie because they're in hiding in Wakanda now.
Maybe so.
But it is
probably would want and or need somebody to come into the Black Panther movie. Like, he can't. I don't know that he could do it all by himself. Although we said the same thing about Ant-Man, and he pulled it.
Right, and he was great by himself. So
yeah, but that's also Paul Rudd. This is a no name.
Well, so maybe they make a small appearance, but it's definitely, obviously, when Thanos comes, people could be like, "Oh shit!"
Right.
But this Black Panther, he doesn't have superpowers, right? He's just...
Yeah, no, he does.
Oh, he does. Okay.
Yeah, he does.
What are they?
I don't know the exact thing, but like when the king dies, it gets passed on to the prince, and they get the powers of all the previous Black Panthers. So his suit is made with and laced with vibranium, which is what the shield is made of. But
the only place he can find vibranium is in...
Is Wakanda.
But
he also has. Uh-huh. He also has.
That
powers.
Would have been good, as if James Earl Jones would have showed up with a lion around him.
Oh, okay. That would have been hilarious.
Oh my god,
they could have done that.
but something. So Cap left his shield behind, so now Cap is without a shield.
Yep.
But now he's in the land.
But it's also a land of vibranium. Right.
Right.
Make another shield.
Right.
But I thought that what I love the most about the Black Panther element is that it gave, like, the chases and the fights, it was multi-faction. Like, you know, it wasn't just one side versus one side. They were, you know, this one's trying to kill Bucky, this one's trying to save Bucky, this one's trying to kill the other one, but or not kill, but hurt the other one or stop the other. You know, there's so many things that are happening in one fight. It was just pandemonium, and I loved it. You know, every time you thought somebody's on the chase, next thing you know, all of a sudden Black Panther just pops up. I've been watching you, waiting for my moment, asshole. Now I'm going to get you. And you're like, oh, this shit's not over yet.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it again.
Really, really good. All right, let's move on to Game of the Thrones.
In only 2D.
That's right.
and it was much better.
I like this episode a lot. I know some people might think of it as more of a setup episode for the rest of the season, positioning pieces or whatnot. Not as much action, but I thought it was fantastic.
Well, I mean, after the big reveal at the end of last week's episode, you know, I thought it was...
Snow can't be brought back to life every episode.
Well, right, but that, you know, that's what I'm saying. It seemed like a letdown, but still a lot of stuff happened. I mean, you know, like, he came back to life, and clearly he has his memories of what happened, but he definitely feels different. Like, he feels like he's, I don't know if he's, like, unnatural or something, because he said, he's like, I shouldn't be here.
Well, did you listen after to the post-credit, how they kind of talk about the making of the episode?
No.
I think their main thing is, at least what they said is, I mean, this is a guy, like, you remember your murder, your death. You that's the last thing you remember. And so you wake up and you've got to now live with that, and it kinda fucks with you.
Well, yeah, sure. I mean, yeah, he said just gonna go on like he was before. I mean,
right.
Cause he even said, it's like, well,
I watched, like, this is bullshit. I got bigger shit to work. I think he's, you know, obviously gonna go focus on the White Walkers, right? I mean,
White Walkers, but at least it gives him the freedom to not be stuck, you know, in Castle Black. He's going to go do what he's... Because he said, it's like, whatever I did before, it failed. Like, I died. Like, it didn't work.
Yeah. Well, he's got dragons to ride, doesn't he?
Well, that's the rumor. That's the big rumor. And, of course, we got another Bran flashback of a young
Ned Stark,
uh-huh. You know, fighting and his sister being in the tower. And I mean, look, I didn't read any of the books. I don't know what's going on. And this is only a theory from what I've heard. I don't know if I mentioned it last week, but you've got three dragons. So obviously you've got Dany, you know, Dany Targaryen. She's, you know, got Targaryen blood in her. She's going to ride the dragon. Tyrion was somehow able to talk to dragons last week, and they didn't they didn't torture
him. I thought I heard on a Game of Thrones podcast last year that Tyrion, in the books, Tyrion is one of the Riders.
Well, the rumor is that maybe Tywin isn't his dad. Maybe there's a Targaryen is actually his dad, so he's got Targaryen blood, which would explain why he will be also a Rider and why they didn't kill him last week. And then the third rumor is that Jon Snow isn't Ned's bastard, but it's an offspring of Ned's sister, who was raped by the Mad King Targaryen. So he actually has Targaryen blood. So those would be the three that ride the dragons into the final clash against the White Walkers.
Uh-huh.
That's the theory. I don't know if...
Well, no reason in watching now.
Yeah, oh, yeah, right. That's it.
Then I really enjoyed the, I can never remember his name, the bald guy that hangs out with Tyrion.
Oh, Viserys?
Varys?
Varys, yeah.
Yeah. Varys. I enjoyed his interrogation of the prostitute, was it?
Yeah.
Where, I mean, because on the one hand, you think he's working with her, then you think he's threatening her son, then he's actually all of that to basically get her to, like, she has no choice but to cooperate and take the deal, like he's doing her a favor.
Right.
He's so good. Oh.
He's dynamite. He was really good.
Mm-hmm. Just the actor, like the actor did a good job on that scene.
Well, I'm telling you what I'm waiting for this year. I'm waiting for, and I'm pretty sure it's going to happen before the end of the year, for Cersei Lannister to kill the Scepter.
You think she's going to be the one to do it?
Yes.
See, and then you notice that he is kind of starting to play the king, Tommen, right? He's going to try to get influence on the king himself.
Right.
Plus, he's just a kid. It's easy for him to manipulate.
Exactly. Words. Now that Cersei is back in the castle and has her guards and has
the mountain Frankenstein. The mountain,
right, Frankenstein. Dude, mountain.
What the fuck, man? That.
You know, the... I don't know. Is he unkillable now?
No one knows.
I don't know.
Look like anybody's looking to find out.
Right.
I mean, it seems like he could probably still get killed if enough.
Well, who was it that was saying, can he even understand me or something? And then they turned and looked at him.
He looked over
at
Jamie.
Yeah. Was it Jamie?
Yeah, with Jamie, yeah.
It seems like she's starting to kind of rise back up now. She's starting to
Right.
a little bit more. She's building her little alliances. She's mounting a comeback.
Although the small council wouldn't have any of her.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah.
We're out.
It was mainly her uncle and the queen's mother.
Yeah.
Queen's grandmother, isn't it? Yeah. You know, those were the two that walked out on her.
The rest of them followed.
Well, right. They followed just because they could. But if it had just been the other ones, obviously, they would have stayed and taken her lead. Because it's the old Meister, and then the father of the princess, or the queen. I don't know who the third one. What's happening with Littlefinger? Are we going to see him again?
I don't know. It's crazy that we haven't seen him at all yet.
Right. Is his story done?
No, it can't be.
But
I also think when they did the, like, the next week on or whatever, I'm pretty sure they showed him. So I think we'll see him.
Oh,
next
did
week.
They? Oh, I missed it. Okay.
But I mean, it's almost like I don't even know where the hell where the hell is he right now?
I thought he was heading back to Westeros.
I thought he's still in the Vale, right? I mean, he was the king of the Vale. He married the queen, and then the queen died.
Oh, maybe he went back there.
Well, that's when he pushed her down the hole.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So I don't. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, when she died, when he killed her.
Yeah. Semantics. She died, didn't she?
You know. The result was the same.
Right, and then Bolton. I mean, look, we all want.
He's going to make a great villain, or he already is. But
yeah, he really is. But we all want Jon Snow to get with the wildlings and attack the North and attack Winterfell.
Which it seems like that's going to happen. But now old Rickon is back.
Yeah.
So now Rickon is a prisoner.
Where has he been?
What, he was with Bran, but I guess Bran
caught him. Some bounty hunter must have caught him, huh?
But like didn't Bran send him back somewhere, or maybe to the Wall? Tried to send him.
I can't remember now. Anyway, you know,
it was fucking 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, because he wasn't in the series last year either.
No, he wasn't.
Oh, but not, you know, he's not there. The Stark. So he is the true.
Yeah, the true heir of Winterfell.
Right.
See how long he survives.
How long are we going to have to watch Dany with these
filthy women?
Women, the widows.
I hope not too long. Now, in the next Dawn, they showed...
Yeah, they got to progress, or I'm going to get pretty
angry. I mean, you know, they showed Ser Jorah and the other guy, the guy from Treme. So they're close, so they're going to be... They got to rescue her soon.
Right, because, you know...
I'm not going to watch a whole season with her fucking tied up.
Right.
Which is basically what we've done the last three seasons. It's all about she's making her trek somewhere. She'll make it to Westeros eventually.
She, at one time, you know, she was my favorite storyline of the...
Yeah.
With the Game of Thrones, I can't, you know, she was getting the dragon, she was getting the Unsullied.
She was all on the rise.
Right. The last couple of seasons, she's just been, you know.
They're just holding her off until she has to come to Westeros.
Right. And then her refusing to get naked again, really, you know.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because technically, you probably would have seen it this week.
Right. Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. When they ripped her clothes off. I was hoping. I said, oh, look, they're going to show her naked again.
Nope.
And they didn't. You know, just kill that character off. It can't. He's not. That was my thought. You know,
Cersei's Daemon's new favorite character.
Yeah, you're gonna have to put season one on a loop.
So, final thoughts on anything. Final thoughts.
Obviously, excited to see Civil War again. Excited for the season of Game of Thrones, and this week the Players Championship golf big event. TPC Sawgrass, 17th Island Green. Enjoy it, folks.
Yeah, no one cares.
What? Who? What?
Some people care. I think Alex Barbie likes golf.
Just passed out. Damon.
He's passed out.
No. We don't have.
I heard golf.
we don't have football, but at least we have the summer movie season starting, so that should entertain us once a week until August gets here. And
so I guess what X-Men Apocalypse is next.
Excellent.
All right, that's all the show we have here right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. So if you don't listen to us on Android, iTunes, or Google Play, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show in 3D, Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Say bye-bye-bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye-bye, 2D donkeys.
Good night, Huda Nation.
To my feet, yeah.